This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Thanks for staying with us here on The Morning Run. You're with Lynn, Julian and Shaoning. It's 7:38 in The Morning Run. You're here with Lynn Mark, Julian Ng and, I nearly called you Sharitz Abdullah, Wang Shaoning. Not Sharitz Abdullah. So this morning we're running a poll on the BFM Twitter account. That's at BFM Radio. We're asking you which of these options do you prefer? An UMNO pass tie-up, an UMNO Bersatu tie-up, neither or don't care. So far, 7% of the nearly 100 votes that we've received have voted for UMNO pass. 3% have voted UMNO Bersatu. 60% said neither. 30% said don't care. But now we've got about an hour left on the poll, so be sure to weigh in if you haven't already, and we'll take a look at the results of the poll throughout the morning. In the meantime, though, we've had some news out of Bank Negara Malaysia this morning because their Monetary Policy Committee decided to maintain the overnight policy rate at 3%.
So the tone that was taken is neutral with some emphasis on downside risk. I guess this is the same kind of wait-and-see approach that we see from central banks across the world as well. I mean, the Fed is going to face Congress tonight, and it's likely they will take a pause on the dovish stance, all because of the trade tensions that's happening.
Well, what's interesting about Bank Negara's statement was that they did note, however, that leading indicators point to a softening of near-term global economic outlook. There remains considerable downside risk, primarily from the prolonged trade tensions. And they also say that this heightened policy uncertainty could lead to excessive financial market volatility. So it does point towards the fact that externally, although Malaysia domestic economy still remains relatively robust, there are some soft spots out there which they are mindful of. And I guess they'll be watching all the important data points coming out from the US and also from Europe to see whether they need to adjust their monetary policy and perhaps even have another rate cut for the remainder of 2019.
Now, on the domestic front, the MPC reiterated its growth forecast of 4.3 to 4.8%, with some downside risks arising from both global and domestic factors, and that the Malaysian economy grew within expectations in the first quarter of the year, supported by both domestic and external factors. And despite those external factors, economic growth will be supported by domestic demand. So household and capital spending will continue to be driven by stable labour market conditions, as well as capacity expansion in key sectors like manufacturing, as well as services.
Yep, inflation is expected to be also very broadly stable compared to 2018 last year. And this is also depending on the timing of a lifting of the price ceiling for domestic fuel prices, cheaper petrol prices, or allowing petrol prices to fluctuate.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah. But the important thing about inflation being benign is that it gives Bank Negara lots of room to decide what to do with regards to monetary policy. And the other option, of course, the other possibility is that if actually we have deflation, that is also very bad for financial systems and also for a country. For example, the classic is Japan, right? Where basically you can have 20 years of deflation. And no matter what monetary or fiscal policy you aim at the country, it just somehow is in a funk. It just can't wake up, right? The economy seems to be dead for the next 20 years. People don't want to spend the money. So achieving that balance is important. But for Malaysia, because we are, you know, an active trading partner in this region, it's very important to see how our export numbers do, what is our industrial production numbers look like, and also taking indicators from other monetary policy of the other central banks within the region, and of course the Feds.
And so the other interesting thing about the MPS was that there was no mention of the financial market conditions, right? So this could be suggesting that maybe the committee doesn't see financial stability as a forefront risk at the moment.
Well, I think most central banks, right, usually will never admit that they look at financial markets. Okay,
they don't monitor the stock market.
They say they don't, but I personally always think they do. And this is a classic because the Feds did so, right, in 2018 when the US markets crashed, and Jerome Powell did 180 degree change. And suddenly, instead of rate hikes, we got rate cuts. So who knows?
Now, following on from that, though, fixed income yields globally fell in the second quarter of the year on the back of concerns over lingering trade tensions between the US and China, as well as that impact on global growth. Geopolitical tensions also added to a sort of a more risk-off approach with a surge of buying of safe haven assets. In June, foreigners net bought 6.6 billion ringgit of Malaysian debt securities compared to outflows of 4.2 billion ringgit in May and 9.8 billion in April.
Yeah, but also this signals a shift towards emerging market assets as the tone for the Federal Reserve become increasingly dovish. The Malaysian bond market, however, have concerns over the eligibility of the that index, the World Government Bond Index, or WGBI.
Yeah, I mean, this has really weighed down on the Malaysian fixed income market because the announcement is only going to be finalised as early, maybe as early as August, by FTSE Russell. And this will remain a major factor in driving the direction of foreign flows in terms of our fixed income market for the second half of the year.
Now, as this uncertainty continues to cloud the markets, we have on the line Winston Poon, Head of Fixed Income Research at Maybank Kim Eng, for some clarity and as we look into the second half of the year. Thank you for joining us, Winston. Good morning. June saw a foreign inflow of 6.6 billion after two consecutive months of outflows, which narrowed the net outflow on a year-to-date basis to 2.2 billion from 8.9 in January to May. So what were the drivers for this that you see?
Hi, good morning. I think the return of foreign flows was primarily due to major central banks turning more dovish. Most have signaled the willingness to expand monetary easing, given the downside risk to growth and trade tensions. For example, in June's FOMC meeting, the Fed literally opened the door for an interest rate cut as early as July. And this is essentially a green light to turn risk on for a lot of investors to seek for higher return in the higher yielding segments such as EM debts and credits. And Malaysia obviously benefited. Also, we think BNM's initiative announced back in May to enhance onshore FX and bond liquidity have also helped to improve foreign investors' confidence in local markets.
And you actually have a contrarian view on the Malaysian bond market. You are being quite bearish on the Malaysian market. What is that view premised on?
Okay, I think I would like to first clarify that we are not quite bearish. Basically, our outlook is from a bond investment strategy perspective. And just a recap, we actually started the year with a bullish outlook on Malaysia bonds. We turned neutral after some rally, and now we turn a bit cautious. Yes, we have a mildly bullish, mildly bearish outlook, but it's not because of domestic factors. We think the highly uncertain external environment is a key risk factor. A deterioration in global economic conditions is generally bond positive, but not necessarily emerging market positive. That's why we are cautious. The macroeconomic stability of Malaysia has definitely become more resilient, but could still be affected if there's a sharp adjustment in other financial markets. On a year-to-date basis, the MGX curve has rallied quite significantly and yields are getting less attractive for domestic investors. So from a risk-reward perspective, we think it's sensible for investors to position defensively.
And how would you think a portfolio manager for fixed income would do its job in the face of falling yields as well as currency movements in and out of the emerging markets?
I think in this very highly uncertain environment, and given that the year-to-date return is already quite positive, I believe some might begin to take a cautious stance. And if you look at the change in the Fed statement, as in the policy stance, it was quite drastic. And if we remember last year, market was still pricing in for the Fed to actually hike rate by two times in 2019. And it's such a big shift. Now, at one point, I think they're looking for three cuts. So the pricing is very dovish. I think the shift is quite drastic. So the turn can change in either direction. So that's why we take a cautious stance and for investors to position defensively.
And if we bring this back home, yesterday Bank Negara maintained the overnight policy rate at 3%, right? But the language of the statement, although neutral, was slightly guarded. So does this indicate another rate cut later this year?
Not in the next MPC meeting. We think the latest statement mentioned that the current stance of monetary policy remains accommodative and supportive of economic activity. So we think the last OPR cut in May was preemptive in nature. Therefore, the bar for another cut is actually higher. Not impossible if external conditions worsen.
And Winston, just one last question. On the World Global Bond Index, what are the chances that we will be excluded?
We actually have three scenarios coming to, let's say, August and September. The first is Malaysia stay in the index. And the second is we get extended to stay on the watch list. And for the first two scenarios, I would assign a probability of 55%. That means we think and we hope that Malaysia would stay in the index. But of course, the third scenario is exclusion. And I put a probability of 45%.
Thank you very much, Winston. That was Winston Poon, Head of Fixed Income at Maybank Kim Eng, weighing in with his thoughts on the likelihood that we will be excluded from the World Global Bond Index, as well as his thoughts on the Bank Negara's rate cuts and fixed income assets. Now we are coming up on the 8 o'clock news, and after that, Wang Xiaoning will be speaking with Dr. Nurul Amin Mohamed Ishak. He's Managing Director at Qualitas Medical Group on the Breakfast Grill. That's after the 8 o'clock news, so be sure to stay tuned for that. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.